Last week we learned the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Tes on the Bay. It's the last line in the third Mishnah, the three Mishnahs. Okay. So the last line in the third Mishnah reads, if you have a tree that you chop down and the stump of the tree is three tefachim tall, then that's considered a tree, that's considered leftover from a tree, and the din is that ein mishtamshim b'mechubar. You're not allowed to sit on a tree, you're not allowed to climb on a tree, and so on. So you're not allowed to sit on that stump of the tree. But if they chop down the tree so low down near the ground that it's within three tefachim to the ground, what's left on the stump of the tree is less than gimel tefachim. So that's kikarka. That's like walking on the ground. So that's not included in the prohibition. That's the Mishnah. Sharosh gvay menod gimel tefachim lo yeshiv aleim. If the stump of the tree is three tefachim tall, four. Sometimes you have another case, not the stump of the tree. Let's say you have a tree,
the
roots of the tree are under the ground, and then a few feet later, so the roots of the tree crawl up above the ground. See, if the roots of the tree are above the ground, if they're gimel tvachim tall above the ground, then you're not allowed to sit on the roots of the tree. But if the roots of the tree are so low that they're within three tvachim, that's considered Aris Michta, that's considered as if
even
it's part of the
ground. Even though it's connected to a tree which is tall.
Yeah, even though the whole tree is more than Gimel Tvachim tall, but this part is not. So now the Gemara has a Shaila on the top of Kuf Amud Aleph. That's where we left off on the third line.
What is the Isser again about Tvachim Ayyab? What is the Isser of setting?
You're not permitted to be Mishtamish Ben Mechuba. You're not allowed to climb on a tree because they make or break off a branch. And then they said you're not allowed to get any handor. You're not allowed to be mishtamish in any part of the tree.
Even if it doesn't have any branches.
The same, all an extension of the same zera.
Even though it's not shayach over
there. There's nothing to break off. No branches to break off.
So it's not like zera. It's not even a tree.
It's not zera. No mishtamish
b'ilan. Yeah, they made a loiplug. If it's more than three tefachim tall, then it's still called a tree. Anything less than three tefachim tall is not called a tree. Yeah. It's the zera the rabbanon. So that's what the Gemara is discussing, the details of this din of the Sharashim Agvayim and Arz Gimel Tvachim, then you're not allowed to walk on it, you're not allowed to lean on it. Itmar. Sharashi Ilan Habayim Malamayla Mishloisha Letach Shloisha. Let's say you have the
roots
of the tree grow on top of the earth, tall roots that are, let's say this is the ground, so three Tvachim above, you have big roots of the tree go like this. And then it goes down lower. The roots continue lower. So the part that's above three tefachim, you're not allowed to sit on. What about the part that's lower than three tefachim, but that's an extension? That's an extension of this part that was above. So these say that since the part that's above gimel tefachim, you're not allowed to sit on that, you're not allowed to lean on it. So whatever's an extension is all part of the tree. And they say, no, that's it. Whatever's below gimel tefachim is muta, whatever's above gimel tefachim is us. So that's a machlokes, and we paskan lahakel. If you have Sharosh Ilan Haboy Milamailo Mishloisha Letach Shloisha, the roots of the tree are taller than three tefachim above the ground, and they go lower. So Rabba Mamuta, Rabba says, even though this is an Mutta the Shtamish Bam, even though this is an extension of the roots that are above three tefachim, which you're not allowed to be Mishtamish, this is Mutta, Mekel, and Rab Sheisha Sam also the Shtamish. Rabba Mamuta, Kol Pachas Begimel Dara Arahi, whatever is within three tefachim is Lavud, so it's not considered a tree. And Rav Sheish disagrees. Also, the Shtamish man, why the cave in the Mekarchisa Kasi? Since this is an extension of the part of the roots that were above three tefachim, so it's like the Domekim Shonisam. Sometimes you had to say the ground itself is curvy.
Yeah.
So the ground is Mutta the Shtamish. But if here, the roots of the tree are curvy, like teeth, Shinayim. Like Shinayim in the roots of the tree. Yeah. So since part of the tree is above three tefachim, so even the part of the tree that's below is also an extension of that. So he holds you not allowed. Sure. So now the Gemara repeats this machlokes in additional cases. The Rabbi is more mekel, and Rav Sheshes is more machma. So the Gemara says like this: the salkan le'ela. If you have a root of a tree that goes up above three tefachim, a stump of a tree, chopped it down, you have left the stump of the tree that's taller than three tefachim. Oh, you have roots of the tree that are flowing sideways, so the part of it that's above three tefachim, that's no machlekes. The salkan li'elon, it's above three tefachim, is asurim l'chol adeis, that's not a machlekes. Then achzen l'tatoi, let's say you have the tree and it has roots that are mamish just above the ground, a tefach, two tefachim above the ground. Not that it was started off above three tefachim and it goes down below. the roots on Gansan are below 3 tefachim, so that's not subject to machlekes. The nachsan, the tatoy isharu, that's not a machlekes. What if it's litzdadim? What if you have roots of the tree that are more than 3 tefachim tall, and then it extends out a little bit, and the part that extends out is within 3 tefachim? That's the machlekes rabbi rav sheshes. Then you have the machlekes plukta the rabbi rav sheshes. The chain, and similarly, that rabbi would be more makel, rav sheshes would be more machmer. In the following case, a nigro. So Rashi explains what this is. How did Rashi know Vesot Nish? Rashi must have had a tradition over here. How did Rashi know what the Pirush HaMilas is? Rashi has like this. Let's say you dig a ditch in the ground, and you have the water is flowing in that ditch. So you dig a ditch, let's say, 5 tefachim deep. And then you plant a tree in the 5 tefachim deep. So the tree just started to grow. So the tree is now 7 tefachim tall. 5 tefachim are in the ditch, and the 2 tefachim are above the ground level. So if you look from the perspective of the lower ground level, you have this ditch, so it's 7 tefachim tall. So the part above 3 tefachim, so this has the status of a tree. But if you look sideways from the perspective of the ground level, because this you dug a ditch, so it's only 2 tefachim above. So you go lekula lechumra. So the Gemara says it's a rabbi rav sheshes. What does that have to do with the other rabbi rav sheshes? And God sent a different shaila. So the Gemara says, no, rabbi, whenever there's any tzad lahokal, so rabbi is makel over here. So he says, since from the perspective of the ground level, the regular normal ground, it's only 2 tefachim above the ground level is mutter. Rav sheshes says, no, that's not fair. That's not right. You planted it in the ditch, and the ditch is 5 tefachim deep. Mm-hmm. So from the perspective of the bottom of the ditch, the tree is 7 tefachim tall. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish in this. And the same machlekes would be v'chein b'keren zovis. Again, Rashi explains, he must have Ruach HaKodesh in order to interpret what keren zovis is over here. A fella has a backyard and he has a fence around the backyard. Fine. And then the fence comes to a corner. The fence comes to an edge, comes to a corner. Yeah. So he has a tree planted right in the corner. So the tree is round and the corner is like a V shape. Let's say it's not a right angle like this, 90 degrees, it's less than 90 degrees like this. So he has the tree growing in the corner, so more than 50% of the tree is leaning on the fence. And less than 50% of the circumference of the tree is exposed. So since the majority of the tree, and the fence is taller than the tree, let's say. So since it's only from less than 50% of the tree, is it a tree more than 3 tefachim above the ground? Because from the other side, you just see the fence. The tree is growing mamish on the side of the fence. It sounds like the fence was there before the tree was planted, before the tree. And then it grew. Yeah, the tree grew into the fence. So since roiv of the circumference of the tree is not really noticeable. You're allowed to lean on a fence. That's not included in the gzer. The gzer is only on trees. So since roiv of the circumference of the tree is in the keren zovis, and it's not really noticeable as a tree, it's only less than 50%. So that's also questionable. So anything that's questionable, that shana machleg is rabbi rav sheshes. What does it have to do with the other case? Not the same case as before. That you had
ups and downs.
You had the roots of the tree were above 3 tefachim, then as it extends, it goes below 3 tefachim. Not the same case as before. But somehow they had a tradition that any borderline case, rabbi would be makel, and rav sheshes would be machmer.
What would be a tree if it grows in one of those big pots and doesn't have a yenike from the ground? It would also be also to be mishtamish, such a tree? Or that's... Because this is already mit Rabunan, if you toilish from such a tree, now you're already going to make another...
What if you toilish from an otzitz she'ein on nokov heis? Yeah. Otzitz she'ein on nokov is only the Rabunan.
Right. That's
not an iser deraisa. Yes, so you say that maybe there shouldn't be an iser on mishtamish b'me'ilam, because it would be a gzera l'gzera. Yeah. I don't know.
Because a lot of times in hotels you have such trees and you go out and you want to hide a key or something else.
Right. Are you allowed to move such a tree?
Are you allowed to be mishtamish to hide it?
We should look it up. I don't know. It's not gear lala. I have to look it up. I don't know. My guess offhand would be that it should be mutter. We'll have to see the Gemara on the base. He's going to talk about some special cases. I don't know. Then the Gemara tells a story. Hahu dikla Sometimes people, we don't have such a hechetim. We don't have trees growing in the middle of the house. We have paved floors. We have carpets on the floors. You have tiles on the floors. You don't have a dirt floor. But years ago, okay. But years ago, okay, they used to have trees.
We have now too, special houses built by what's name, this big architect. You go into those houses, he has trees in the house.
Oh, so they have a shaila, they have a tree growing in the ground, and it goes up taller than the next level. The second story begins, and then they have a hole in the second story, and the tree continues up to go through the hole.
So Frank Lloyd Wright has such houses.
Yeah,
we have houses like this. We have trees in the
house. Normal, still normal, Bisman Hazeh. Yeah. So if the tree continues to grow up taller than the second floor, less than three tochim above the second floor. But the whole tree, it's a tall tree.
Yeah.
It's how tall is the floor? 10 feet tall.
Eight feet.
Okay. So whoever lives downstairs is not allowed to lean on a tree. It's a tall tree. There's way more than three tochim. It's 10 feet tall, 8 feet tall. The shot is the guy who lives on the second floor upstairs. Uh-huh. From his perspective, the tree is less than three tochim, but it's an extension of the whole tree that was growing up. So what's the din? So the Gemara says that's the same. That's the same machlekes as Rav Sheshi. I wouldn't have said so. No. I would have said, what has it got to do with this growing this way, that's growing that way? If you have the roots of the tree are above three tefachim, then it goes below three tefachim. So that's an extension of the roots that were above. So Rav Sheshi says, so Rabbi holds muta. Here the tree growing up goes vaita, I would have said for sure it's a tree. So the Gemara says not. So the Gemara says, Abai had the shaila.
What about the roots? They penetrate.
What do you mean, effect mean? This mazik?
Yeah, the roots.
The Gemara in Bava Basra talks, the Mishnah in the Gemara talks about that. Am I allowed to plant a tree in my backyard? Say I'm minding my own business, but the roots are going to go make hezek in the next door neighbor's yard. They're going to break his house. Sometimes the roots grow and it ruins the other fellow's house. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that. There's a discussion in Rishonim, the Ramban and the Kuntres Din and the Gami discusses when the roots make a hezek, is that considered mamish, like Shor HaMazik, that's my mamon, it's my tree, and I know it's going to keep on expanding, and it ruins your house and the whole house collapses because it ruined your foundation. So is that considered Shor HaMazik or is that only Garmi? The Ramban doesn't understand why the Gemara considers it Garmi, it should be Shor HaMazik mamish, he doesn't have any terrors. So that's a discussion in Bava Basra. Here we're talking, everything belongs to me. Yeah. I'm not making shodan to anybody else.
You have to be miyut. For a mazik, you have to be a miyut.
You have to be
miyut.
So a miyut.
No, I mean, the person doesn't have to be a miyut.
I mean, if it's Karen.
This is considered,
if it's Mishune, no. If it's Shember Egel, you pay Nezik Shalem the first time also. If it's Karen, Mishune, so then Kabbalah Salazik is Mishune, so then the first three times you only pay Chatzin Nezik, and when it's a Muad, then you pay Nezik Shon. But if this would be Shor, this would be a Muad Mitchilosai. This is normal, that the roots of a tree ruin buildings. There's nothing Mishunadik. There's no Kabbalah Salazik, nothing Mishunadik about that. That's Gans normal. See, the Gemara is talking, it's all in my Rishu. It's not a shayla of me being Mazik somebody else. It's a shayla of whether the Gzeo the Rabban and the Vemishtam Shabilan applies here or not. So they tell the star, Hu Dikla, there was a tree, the Havila Abai, Abai is home, Abi Salik bi Yifuma, grew from the ground through the hole in the second floor, and it went up above, and it was only less than three tochim above the hole. But it was obvious that this was an extension from the tree that grew from the ground. So he came in the Yester's Rebbe, also Lakameh de Rav Yosef Isharelei. Rav Yosef get paskin that whoever lives upstairs is permitted to be mishtamish in the tree. Amar Avachem Batachlifus, he made a comment that it depends on the Machlekes Rabbi Rav Sheshis. That it's only Mutter according to Rabbi Rav Sheshis would say it's Osa. If you would have asked me, no one asked me. If you would have asked me, I would have said that according to Rabbi it's also Osa. What has it got to do? Here it's going up. It's, of course it's Lamaila Mishloja Tvok. They didn't ask me. So the Amoira makes a comment. We pass like Rabbi Lohakal over here. So he says, the Kula of Rav Yosef, that he gave Abai, that whoever lives on the second floor is allowed to be Mishnamish, the Shoraloch, the one who is Mati, Kirab Shoraloch, the Heta was based on Rabbi Shita.
What if it's a symbol of both? He has two flights. stories.
I think it is the same Balbal. I think Abai lives downstairs and upstairs, so the part of the tree downstairs, since he's not allowed to lean on. When he goes upstairs, that part is allowed to.
Yeah,
I'm not. I don't know.
I think Rashi it's the roof. It's above the roof.
It's not a second floor. So why does that make it any better?
Well, because there's one owner of Abaya. Therefore, he can't disavow that the tree is covering the whole first floor. It's just that the roof is not part of his house. So that's.
Mm-hmm.
But still the same thing.
I don't know. I would have said it's also on the roof too. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why it makes it better on the roof. I don't know why it makes it better on the second floor. Okay. I don't understand why. I have to look in Shulchan Aruch. Is it only muta on the roof? Is it even muta on the second floor? I don't know. So the Gemara says pshita. Of course, the whole heter is only aliba de rabbi. According to Rav Sheshes, for sure it's awesome. Even according to rabbi, it's a wild cooler. Gemara says, "Ma'u detema." One might have thought, "Afilu the Rav Sheshes." Even Rav Sheshes, I would have said, even Rabbi would ask it. So Gemara says, "Wrong." No. Even Rav Sheshes would be matter. Why? Because basic command the malia damyam, whatever is inside the house is considered as if it's all filled up. It's a funny expression. Willish tamish b'pachas migimel samach lagag. Whatever is inside the whole tree downstairs that's on the first floor is considered as if the whole first floor is filled up with hafer. And then the part of the tree that protrudes above the roof or above the second floor, that's a dovah chodesh. And since it's less than three tvochim above the gag, so you're allowed to be mishtamish kamash malon, the Rav Sheshes would ask. Yeah. What kind of basic? What does that mean, basic kamat nemal yadam? Where in the world does that idea come from? So Rashi tells you that there is such a din. There is a din. There is a din. It appears in the Gemara in two places. One place we do paskin, one place we don't paskin. One place that we don't paskin is like this. Let's say I throw something from a Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim. So I did Hoitzor B'Shabbos, so I throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYochid. So I did Hachnasa, Machnas. You're not allowed to carry me Rishus Lushus. You did a Malach. So if I take this and I put it down in the Rishus HaRabim, in the Rishus HaYochid, like this, so I did an Akira, an Achila Fushuis, and a Hanoche, so I did a Malach HaMachayv. What if I throw it and it keeps on rolling and rolling and rolling? It never stands still. So the Gemara says, you're not Chayv. You never did a Hanoche, so you're not Chayv. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva holds a Kluto Kemisha Unchadamya. Not only if it's rolling on the ground, even if you throw it in the air, it's passing through, and it's going to go somewhere else. Once it's niklat in the avir of the other rishus, so the malach is already complete. So the Gemara says we don't pass like a Rabbi Kiva who says kluta is considered like a kemisha hunchadam in niklat. Once it enters into that airspace, is considered as if it's anocha. Mechateisa, why is it considered anocha? So we don't pass like a Rabbi Kiva. Then the Gemara says Rabbi has a compromise sheet between Rabbi Akiva and Achachamim. He only says kluta kimi. We don't pass like him either. We pass in no kluta, zero. You never pass in kluta kimisha unchadam. So Rebbe makes a compromise up short. He says, if I throw something from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid that has a roof on it, Rishus HaYochid Mekure, then you say it's considered basic keman demal yadamya. What in the world does that mean? If I throw it into the Rishus HaRabim, you don't say kluta. If I throw it into the Rishus HaYochid that doesn't have a roof on top, you don't say kluta. But if you have a Rishus HaYochid that has a roof on top, then you say basa, the inside of the house is keman demal yadamya. It's considered as if it's filled up. What do you mean considered as if it's filled up? So it means if you have a roof on your Rishus HaYochid, so people will put tables, they'll put furniture there. If you don't have a roof, it's going to rain in the winter time, so people are not going to leave things there. But if you have a roof on top, it's not going to rain in. So if you would have put a table there and I threw the object into the Rishus HaYochid, and if there would have been a table there, it would have been munach on the table. If there would have been, it would have been. But there wasn't. Strange. Yeah. So Rebbe Shita is that then you say basic in mandamal yadamya, since a house that has a rooftop on it, benoik shaboyim, people put furniture, and if there would have been a piece of furniture that height, it would have been munach on the furniture. Then you say klutik commission. We don't paskin like these. Imagine this is imagination. We don't paskin like any of the klutik commission chadamya. So that context, we don't accept kluta. Rashi quotes, so what's the Hava Mina? I would have said Kluk basic command the Mal Yadamya. So Rashi says no, but there is a Gemara Dafayin Vav where we do say basic command the Mal Yadamya. That's a different thing. Yeah.
Maybe because it has a different name of Gog, because we roof at the roof, so that cuts it off from the floor below. So we consider it a separate entity.
Uh-huh.
Even though it's growing from the same base, but because we give it a separate name, Gog, yeah. So that indicates it's a different unit, and if it's less than
a floor and a second floor,
let's say
also cuts
floor,
it off.
Let's say second floor, we wouldn't say like that.
Also
could be
cuts
that
it
not.
Off.
Second floor, maybe not. Okay, we have to look in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't apply to a second floor, only a roof. Okay, I'm a roof to a roof. That's what you say. Could be. Okay. So the Havamina of the Gemara would have been basic command mal. You know, Kamash Malan, you don't say. So Rashi doesn't quote that Gemara. Rebbe Shita basically because we don't paskin like that, Rebbe. So Rashi quotes a different Gemara that we do paskin like. Different Gemara is like this. Let's say we learned the second parak in the beginning of the second parak. Every state that Shlomo HaMelech made a takana, and the basko came out from heaven that they were excited. They were masking on his takana. What's the given zayin takana? If you a house is a house is a house. So if my house, your house, his house, the shul, all houses, the Avirushu Sayochid, walls around, walls 10 tvachim tall, and it has dal al dal tvachim, Avirushu Sayochid is a Rishu Sayochid. Minatar, you're allowed to carry from my Rishu Sayochid to your Rishu Sayochid to his Rishu Sayochid to the shul. It's all the same thing. Shlomo HaMelech made a takana de Rabbanon that you're not so fast. You're not allowed to carry from my Rishu Sayochid into your Rishu Sayochid unless we made an Erev Echatzeres. So this Erev Echatzeres, so let's say I live on one side of the street, and I have a house on the other side of the street. They both belong to the same family. I live in both houses. Half of my family lives here, half of the family lives there. And I want to throw something from this side of the street to the other. So it's, if it's the same person, same family living on both sides of the street, you don't need an Erev Echatzeres. So the Gemara says, am I allowed to throw across the street? So the Gemara says, it depends. If you have to be a good pitcher, you have to know how to aim and you may miss, then you're not allowed to throw across the street because you may miss, it'll land in the middle of the street. So you carry it from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRab, into the Carmelites. But if it's a dead giveaway, you have to be a moron not to throw on in the window or not to throw it on top of the roof. It's so obvious that you're going to get it into. So then there's no need for an Erev Echatzeres. This is my home, that's my home, and you're allowed to throw across the street. But it goes through the Avi Rishus HaRab. So the Gemara says, above Asara Tvachim, the ground level is Rishus HaRab, Makarmelis, whatever it'll be. And it's only Taifas up until the first 10 Tvachim. And above the first 10 Tvachim has the status of Makam Tur. So there's no problem. So you're allowed to throw from my Rishu Sayochid on this side of the street, my Rishu Sayochid on the other side of the street. It's going through a Makam Tur, there's no problem. What happens if my family lives on this side, your family lives on the other side? Now we enter Shlomo HaMelech's takana. You can't carry from my Rishu Sayochid to yours unless you make an Erev Echatzeres. So make an Erev Echatzeres, no, it doesn't help. Erev Echatzeres only when you need it. If both houses are inhabited by the same family, they don't need an Erev Echatzeres.
Yeah,
but if it's two different families, then you need an Erev Echatzeres. Erev Echatzeres is only good if there's a Pesach that goes from one to the other. You can go from one home to the other without leaving a Rishu Sayochid. But here you can't. You have to walk from my home into the middle of the street to your home. So Teugdechnisht, if you have the homes are adjacent to each other,
attached to me house.
If the homes are attached, if the homes are attached to the Vaita Shaila.
Not necessarily attached, a chotzer between.
If you have a chotzer with a fence around it. Yeah. Not attached, but you have a fence around it.
And all the psochim open up to the chotzer.
And all the psochim open up into the chotzer, so it's one big Rishus HaYochid. So then the Shaykh to make an Erev Echatzeres. What if there's no chotzer around, the houses are attached? So that doesn't solve the whole problem right away.
You can't go into that.
How can you go from my house into your house? If we share a porch together, if it's an apartment building, so right, I go from my house into the hallway, into your house. Or if we have
a porch,
a vestibule in the front. So you go from my house to the vestibule into your house. Good. Then you can make an Erev Echatzeres. What happens if you have attached houses? But there's no way to go from one to the other. I can stretch. Let's say you need a challah, you forgot cholent, chicken, whatever. So I want to stretch my pot out through my window and give it to you through your window. There's no Pesach in between, so you can't make an Erev Echatzeres. If the both homes are mine, so you don't need an Erev Echatzeres. You don't need an Erev Echatzeres, no problem. But if the both homes are not mine, you have a different family living here, different family living there, and you need Takana Shlomo HaMelech, you need an Erev Echatzeres, so you can't make an Erev Echatzeres. because there's no Pesach Menim. So what if? So you do have a Pesach. Let's say you have two apartments, and there is a doorway that's usually locked. Each one wants their privacy. But if they'll both open up the doorway, so you can go from the door from one apartment to the other. Sure. So there's a Pesach. So even though the door is locked on Erev Shabbos, but since there is a Pesach, so theoretically can open it up. So they can make an Erev Echatzeres to carry from one to the other. So then once you have a Pesach and you have the ability to make an Erev Echatzeres, then you can carry through the window also, as long as you're not carrying the pot within 10 tefachim to the ground, so it's not going through the Aver of the Carmelis or the Aver of the Rishus HaRab. So the Gemara says, what about the following case? I remember we once had the shot. What about the following case? I have a house, and there's no, and I want to, and the people behind me have a house which is not adjacent to my house, but they have a chotzer that ends at my house. They have a fence that goes around and around, ends at my house. I don't have I have a door that goes the front. I have a front door that goes out to the street.
No,
I don't have a back door that goes out, but I have a window. I have a window that opens
into
the other chotzer. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says the window is no good. If the window would be within 10 tefachim to the floor, so then it's a Pesach. But if the window is above 10 tefachim to the floor, then there's no Pesach. So the Gemara says, what if you have two apartments next to each other, and they're both apartments, and there's a window above 10 tefachim. There's a window
between
above 10
tefachim.
Between the two apartments. So that's where Rashi quotes, this is the din. Beisa keman de mal yadam chalon shebein shnei batim lamayla miyud. That's where Rashi quotes from Dafayin Vav. You don't have a doorway that opens between my rishus and your rishus. You have a chalon, and the chalon, the bottom of the chalon, is not within 10 tefachim to the floor. So teignish, if the bottom of the chalon would have been within 10 tefachim to the floor, that's a pesach. So if there's a pesach between the two, you can make an erev chatzeres, and you can carry from my rishus to your rishus even by sticking your hand around this way. You don't have to stick the food through the chaloin. But what happens if the chaloin is lemaila me'asar tefachim? So toik dechnish, the Gemara says, no, there's still a kula. Basic emanda mal yodam yavasadas. Since in a house, usually people put furniture, because in a house you have a roof, so it's not going to rain in, so you put furniture, so there's probably going to be a table, a chair, whatever. So I can move, let's say, this chaloin, and I stand up, so asar tefachim is below my waist. So the chaloin begins above my waist. So this chaloin teignish, but I have a chair here, so I can. If I'll stand over here, so then the chaloin is within 10 tefachim. So even if there wouldn't be a chair, this is attached to the ground, but I can move it. Normally table. In a house, you have furniture, so you can move a table over and stand on top of the table. You can move a chair over here and stand on top of the chair, and it'll be within 10 tefachim. So that's what the Gemara says. Beisa keman de mal yadamya. I consider a bias as if there would have been offer.
On the ground.
Why?
Because I can
consider it within. Because I can move the table or the chair over, and it'll be within 10 tefachim. That's if it's a house. The shaila was over here. My case in the country was, by me it was a bias. We had our bias and the back. We had the shed in the back of our in the country when we were on vacation. So the back of the shed didn't have a door going to the next door neighbor's chotzer. It just had a window. But then the window, so in the shed there was a roof. So the shed with the roof, so you can say basic command, mal yadam, you can put whatever you want there. You can take furniture, tables, chairs from the house and move it into the shed. The next door neighbor didn't have a bias there. His bias was recessed further back, and by him it was only the front of his chotzer.
Oh, yeah,
so in a chotzer you don't say command mal yadam because there's no roof over there, it's going to rain over there. So that's a shaila on one side. On one side, it was considered as if the chaloin was within 10 tefachim, from my perspective, because by us it was a bais. On the other side, it was a chatzah. So this din is not discussed in Shulchan Aruch. I remember, I looked, I couldn't find the din. That shaila is not discussed. What if it's a chaloin? On one side, the chaloin is a chaloin of a bais. So we say basic command the mal yadami, I involve them in bais. On the other side, though, it's not a bais, it's a chatzah. Sheinim makuris. So you don't say command the mal yadami. So do you say, since on one side it's okay, on the other side is also okay or not? I don't remember what we did. I just remember looking up the shaila.
What is the halacha, when you said with the family, you don't need to have a chateres, how far does the family have to be? How close the family? Could it be even a cousin, or it has to be a father and son?
If they all eat their food in the same place. Then there's a Mishnah earlier in Erev.
So what if you're not family, just good friends, and eat in the same place? It would be the same thing.
Also the same thing.
Also let's say you have a family.
Let's say you have a hotel, a kosher hotel, and everybody has their own private rooms, but they all eat the food in the dining room. So you don't need an Erev Chatzeres. Does it? That is the Erev Chatzeres.
It's not family, mamash.
Yeah. So here the Mishnah has a din. Let's say there's a father and he has five children. Yeah. They're all married, and each one has his own apartment, and they all live in one big building. And each of the children is married, has his own grandchildren, and so on. But they all eat by their parents every day. They all eat Shabbos and Yom Tov and the weekdays. They all eat by the parents. Same. And then the Mishnah says, no one asks on anybody else, since they all eat by the parents, even though each one has his own apartment, so no one asks. It's considered one big family.
It's not any better than putting a box of matzahs into one person's house.
If you leave a matzah, is considered, since the food is there, it's considered ki'ilu, we're all one family.
That's a question. See,
they're all mamish eating.
Over there. That's the question. It's not family.
Yeah.
Go to a Rebbe, this.
The word malya, that's from malay. What
malay. Kemande malya.
As if the space were filled.
We're filled up, yeah.
Because
since you can move over a table, and it'll be, the window will be within 10 tefachim to the top of the table. So we visualize it as if there would have been offer there, and the window is within 10 tefachim to the offer. This expression, basic command, mal yadami, appears in another place, the Nesivus. The Nesivus, in the one place, by Klute Kemishun Chadamia, that Rabbi Yudon Asim makes a compromise between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. He says, you only say Klute Kemishun in the Rishu Sayach and Mekura. And you don't say klutik commission. So there we don't accept that. Basic command mal yadam. There's another place, the Nesivus writes. The Nesivus was a rav in a city. He was a rav in Lisa. So he wrote in the end of his sefer on Hilchas Pesach that's called Mikor Chaim. So he has a page and a half that's called Tikkun Erevin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes so much from the Tikkun Erevin, you would think me yodeh how big the whole sefer is. 1.5 pages. The whole kuntres. And every 3/4 of a line is another din, and he doesn't explain it. He just says the din is A, B, C, D. It just keeps on going. Another din, very, very slight explanation. So he has a chiddush. He says, this comes up every so often, if you're making an era for the community to be allowed to carry, so you make a tzuris ha-pesach. So he says, if you put the pole inside a rishus hayachid, or huadinami, let's say the pole is in the street, but the wire goes over someone's front lawn, and the fella has a fence around the front lawn, so the front lawn is a rishus hayachid. So the Nesiva says that's not acceptable. You cannot break into somebody's rishus hayachid because beisa kiman de mal yadamya. So the later svarim, I'm not sure what in the world he's driving at. What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, chotza, you don't say
it. We don't baskin like Rebbe, basic command about them. What is he driving at? It's unclear. So that's what the Avnei Nezer says. What does he mean? So the Avnei Nezer says, no, he meant a different thing. He says, based on a different Gemara in Erevin, we ought to learn that Gemara called Gagos. He said, there's a din of siluk mechitzas. If you have an area which is enclosed with the mechitza, has a fence around it, so whatever is enclosed is considered as if it's impenetrable, you can't break in, and that area is mesulak mikan, that's removed from the whole picture. So if you're going to have a pole inside that area, and the wire is going to go right there and make a whole hekif, teignish, because that whole area, it can't break into that area. You can't break in by having a pole there, and you can't have a pole outside with the wire going over the area. A lot of times when they make a reuven, so they have the wire of the area goes over somebody's front lawn, a backyard or something. So the Nesivus holds that's no good. So the Melitza that he uses is basic command the Mal Yadam, but he probably means something else. It probably just means it's a Siluk Mechitza. It's a funny Lashon to use. And here the Gemara uses that expression as a Havamina. Mao de Tema, that even Rav Sheshes would have said that the part of the tree that's growing downstairs below the roof is command the Mal Yadam. We visualize it as if the downstairs were filled up with offer, and all you have is the tree growing up on top of the roof, and it's less than 3 tochim. So Kamash Malon, that Rav Sheshes would not agree, but Rabbah would hold from the Kula. Rabbah holds from the Kula. So that loch is like Rabbah, so it's mutta. Okay. You have to check in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe that you're right. Maybe it's only above the roof. Maybe if it's on the second floor, not. I don't digest the whole din. So I don't understand why it should be correct even above the roof. But that's what the Gemara says.
He explains it in the notes over here, that because you can't see, if you look down it from the person who lives on the roof's perspective, you don't see any of the tree.
You mean the hole is closed up?
Yeah, well, that's, I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't know where he gets that from. Uh-huh. Say that, that's the, otherwise, you would have a real problem distinguishing that. That's mm-hmm. what he says.
Okay. Good. Okay.
I think there are other places in the Gemara, if it has a different name, it's considered by, as a separate Rishus.
Yeah, sometimes the Gemara has like that. In Loshem Ereodim, usually. Loshem Ereodim. The Gemara has in Gittin. Let's say the husband wants to give his wife a get, so he throws it into her Rishus. So the Benosim Biyoda is good even Bechatzera. Either Biyoda or Bechatzera. What if she doesn't own any Rishus? So if he lends her, if he's mashal mokam b'chatzer, her husband is a real estate man, he has a lot of area. So he's mashal his wife mokam, she's chalashing to get a get, and she, some reason or another, she's not here, whatever, she can't receive the get in her hands. It's freezing, she's wearing earmuffs and whatever, I don't know, she can't receive the get. So he wants to throw the get into her chatzer. So if he'll be mashal her mokam, b'chatzer is good. So the Gemara there talks about what if he's mashal a mokam, And then he throws the get into a different makam. He didn't throw into the makam that he lent her. When do you say it's one makam? When do you say it's two makam? So then it goes b'loshem and yodam, because he's talking about lending. Lending is an activity that a person does. So did he mean that he's lending the whole rishus, or is he only lending part of the rishus? So that would depend on loshem and yodam.
She doesn't have to accept the lending.
Yes, and Ishkin Schluss. Yeah, but let's say she's chalashing. Let's say she's chalashing to get a get, yeah. But she doesn't want to take her hands out of her gloves or whatever. She's freezing, so he can throw the get into her chotzer. She doesn't have a chotzer, so he can be mashal hamakam machatzer. So then the Gemara says it depends. Is a chad makam moishal trei mekayim is with loshem and yodim. Okay, sometimes it does depend on what people cook. Yeah.
So this halacha that Aneiru basically shouldn't go over a Rishus Hayachad, what if the Rishus Hayachad is less than Eser Amos?
Less than Eser Amos in which direction? Tall or wide?
So if you would cut out the entire part of the wire which is directly above the Rishus Hayachad, it's less than 10 Amos.
If you have a pole over here and a wire going here, over the Rishus Hayachid, so if you snip the wire over here, you have a pole and a wire. And
like a bus shelter, basically.
Okay. So you have a pole and a wire, but the wire stops. You'd have to have another pole here. So if you would have a pole on the outside of the Rishus Hayachid, so you have a Tzuris HaPesach here, and then you would have a gap of less than Eser Amos, and then you would continue with another Tzuris HaPesach here. But then you have to have a pole on the edge, on this edge of the Rishus Hayachid, and the pole on the other end, the outside edges of two sides of the Rishus Hayachid.
But if we consider this a bias model, then it's a big solid block in itself.
But it's not a house. Outside. That Loshen is not
the... Yeah. We don't say basic Kemanim Al Yadam. The Loshen that the Nesivus uses, basic Kemanim Al Yadam, somehow he just means to say that area is a Rishus Hayachid. And that whole thing is Mesulak Mikan. But so you're just going to have, you have a Tzuris HaPesach, Hakonim Mikan, Al Gabeim, and it stops in the middle. So in a Tzuris HaPesach, you don't say if it's less than Eser Amos, it's good. It's a Shaila if you even say less than three Tvachim. Let's say you have a Hakonim Mikan, Vikon Al Gabeim, and it's missing in the middle. It's missing in the middle, but the gap in the middle is less than three Tvachim. So that's a Machlag here. Here's the ground level. Have a pole over here. And then I have a corner al gabeim goes here, and the corner al gabeim goes here, and there's less than a, over here. There's only a gap of two tefachim. Is that good? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is mekel on that, and the Chazon Ish makes fun of that. He doesn't quote Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. He just says he can't say lovut. He says that Tzuris HaPesach has to be constructed in a normal fashion, the way a goy would construct it. A goy wouldn't use lovut. Lovut is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. A goy would make it in such a way it should connect on top, and you have anytime you have a frame of a door. So the mashkaf on top goes all the way across.
Yeah.
You can't use dinam of lovet to declare that it's a mashkaf. So the Chazon Ish says that wouldn't be any good. The Chazon Ish said the same thing. If the pole doesn't reach the ground, it's only lovet within three tefachim to the ground. He said it's no good.
So what if you extend the Rishus Hayachad further up so that the wire actually does connect to the...
To the wall,
like to the wall of the Rishus Hayachid.
I mean, I have a Rishus Hayachid with a fence around it, a whole front yard, backyard, whatever, with a fence around it. Then I have a pole over here. Let's have a pole over here, and the wire goes this way, and I have a pole over here, and the rest of the city is enclosed in an Erev. So would this be acceptable or not? Let's say the walls of the backyard go so tall that the mamish touching the wire on top. So the klal is that the tzuris ha-pesach has to be a konamikon. Kona means a pole. Has to look like the frame of a door. What happens if it's a very fat frame? Is there a minimum size that the kona has to have? So we learned in the first perek, the Gemara says kolshu. Then the Gemara says v'kama kolshu. So the Gemara says kechuta desarbalo. I think the Gemara says they used to have a string on top of the pajamas that they would tie together the pajamas, the trousers to hold together. So the Gemara says kolshu. So some of the Rishonim say that's a pesanetzba, has to be an inch thick, has to be a minimum of an inch thick. Fine. So let's say lamashay machmezain that the pole has to be a minimum thickness of an inch. Is there a maximum thickness that if it's too big it's no good? So let's say I have a house. Let's say I have a building, so I'll put a string on top of the building to on top of another building, and I say the whole building is economy kind. The whole building will be the mezuzah, and the other building will be another mezuzah. Have a house over here, and have a house over here, and I'll put a string from the rooftop over here to the rooftop over here. I'll say the whole house is economy kind. So the Nesivus writes in his Tikkun Erevin that based on the Gemara in the first paragraph in Erevin, if the house is more than Dalet Amos long, then it's called a wall. Then it's Yotze Mechlal Kone, and it's called a structure. Then it's no good. If you have a whole building, that's not called a Kone. The Tzuras HaPesach has to be something separate from the building. The frame of the door has to be a separate Kone. So if it's too gigantic, then it doesn't qualify as a Kone. So if you're going to have, let's say, the front yard or the backyard, you're going to have tall walls that go up. So the walls that go around are a structure. That can't be considered. You can't treat that as if it were a corner. So you can't say you have a pole over here and a wire over here and the wall over here should be treated like the other pole. No, the wall is too big. The wall is Dalet Amos long. And even if it's not Dalet Amos long, it encloses the whole area. So that whole thing is a separate structure. That's like using a building as the corner mikan. You can't use a whole building as the corner mikan. It has to be something. It shouldn't be too big and it shouldn't be too small. It has to qualify to be labeled as a corner. Corner mikan, corner mikan, corner al gabay.
Is that why they typically use the light poles or something rather than the actual buildings when they construct the Erev?
You have to put a pole touching the building, yeah. You can't use the building itself as the Kon HaMikon and put the wire on top of the building. You have to put a pole attached to the building and treat that pole as the Kon HaMikon. Or let's say a lot of times you have a picket fence. So each pole in the picket fence is separate from each other. It's a skinny pole, but all of these poles together add up to serve as a big fence around the whole area. So I would think that you cannot use any one of those poles in the picket fence, even though it's 10 tefachim tall and it's thin, because it's part of a larger structure. It's part of a big structure. The Kona Mikan has to be something separate from a building. Shouldn't be a kaisel. If it's Dalet Amos long, it's no good. It's a part of a fence. It's also no good. Part of a structure is no good. So now the Gemara wants to know, can you prove from the Mishnah one way or the other? The Mishnah says, Sherashim Gvamarat Gimel Tvachim Lo Yeshev Aleim. If you have the tree and it has these rolling roots, extending roots on top of the ground, so if the roots are above 3 Tvachim, you're not allowed to sit. So the Gemara wants to know, in this machlekes, Rabbi Rav Sheshes, which way does it appear from the Mishnah? So it says on the second wide line on Kuf Amud Alf. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Sharav Shikvay Menorat Gimel Tzvachon LeYeshiv Aleihem, if the roots of the tree are so high above the ground level that the three Tzvachon tall, then you're not allowed to sit on the roots, you're not allowed to lean on the roots and so on. Freg the Gemara, Hechi Dami, what's the case? Idu Lahadri Kaifi, if the roots are the whole time they're above 3 Tvachim, they don't bend down again. They're not kaifif down again. So the Gemara said, Pshita, if the roots are 3 Tvachim tall, that's a tree. So what do you need a Mishnah? Why would I have thought otherwise? El alav must be shot, afagav the hadri kaifi. Must be from the Mishnah, sounds like Rav Sheshes, Luchumra. If the roots are above 3 Tvachim, but then they go down lower, than as it extends further, they go down lower than the Tvachim. And that's what the Mishnah means to say, that you're not allowed to sit on the lower part either. Because the lower part is an extension of the upper part. So don't you see from the Mishnah that Rav Sheshis is right? So how come we make it like Rabbi?
Yeah.
And the Machlek is Rabbi Rav Sheshis. Mar says, lo. Le'olam da lo hadri kaifi. V'hokam ashmalo. And this is what the Mishnah is talking about. I forgot what the tzirech had shavalor. It's going like this. The ground where the trees grow is not always so level. Mm-hmm. It goes up, it goes down. So we're talking about a case, you have trees, and then you have these roots that are above tree talking, standing on this side. The roots are above 3 tefachim to the ground, but then the earth itself goes up. So on the other side, the roots are ground level, or they're only 1 tefach above the ground, 2 tefachim above the ground level.
Right.
So one might have thought that the only time it has the status of an elon, if it's 3 tefachim tall, from all the perspectives, arum and arum, all around it's 3 tefachim tall. But if it's only 3 tefachim tall on one side, the other side is below 3 tefachim, I would have thought that doesn't have a din of an elon, kamash melon, that it does. But you can't tell from the Mishnah one way or the other. It's a legitimate machlekes rabbi Rav Sheshis, and it said the whole thing is only a dinder rabban, so we pass like rabbi lahakel. That even though the roots are above 3 tefachim, then they go lower than 3 tefachim, on the part that's lower, even though it's an extension of the part that's above 3 tefachim, you're permitted to sit.
What about the distance of the lower part? The distance, how far if it goes away from the 3 tefachim? Does it matter how far?
Rabbis matter everything. Oh, according to Rav Sheshis. I don't know. We don't pass like Rav Sheshis. I don't know. What would Rav Sheshis say? Is there an upper limit as to how far? Could be. I don't know. So now Gemara is going to give some more details on this. Then, until we're going to get to the interesting Gemara that we raised last week. We have a brisa. You have the roots of the tree are so fat that they're above the, they're tall above the ground. 3 tefachim, the tree is over here. And then the roots go above the ground. So the 3 tefachim has a din of anila. Oh, mm-hmm. Or you have very skinny roots, but there's an empty space
underneath.
The roots are in the air,
yeah,
and they're above 3 tefachim. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish in those roots. Even on one side it's the same level as the ground, nonetheless, since on the other side it's not harezalay yeshavalay. Rabbi was only mekel if on 3 sides it's shavalor, and the 4th side it's not, then Rabbi was mekel. But if it's only on one or two sides it's shavalor, and the other 2 sides not shavalor, then Rabbi is not mekel. Okay. Why are you not allowed to loy yeshavalay? Why are you not allowed to sit on the roots of the tree? Lefi, that's the gzera de rabbanon. The Mishnah in the end, the Beitzer writes, ein oilam bilon. You're not allowed to climb up on a tree. Shema yachtoch zmar. He may by mistake break off a branch. So now the Brisa spells out all the 3 ein oilam bilon, because you're not allowed to climb on a tree. Vei nitlam bilon. You're not allowed to shpreitzach on a tree. Guy's gonna lay down on the ground and lean his head on the tree. He's not climbing, but he's leaning his head on the tree. Also not allowed to. Ain't nitlim, they ain't nishanim. You're not allowed to lean on a tree. Well, someone's going to be talking, going to lean on a tree. So that's also called deimishtam shabilon. What if he's going to climb on top of the tree on Erev Shabbos and stay there the whole Shabbos? I'm sure gonna. He has a tree house, let's say.
Yeah.
The tree is supported by the house. This is a Mishnah in Sukkah. He has a sukkah on top of the tree, and the whole sukkah is supported by the tree. So then he's not allowed to sit in the sukkah, not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. V'chala Moed is allowed to sit. Yeah. Shabbos Yantav is not allowed to.
The story you told us about the stripler from the cord to take off from the tree. So he's not Meshamish with the tree. Why couldn't he take off the cord from the tree in Shabbos? He wasn't Meshamish. He wasn't using the tree.
Shulchan Aruch says when you hang a coat on the tree or you take a coat off from the tree, that's also called Meshamish in the tree.
Okay, hanging I understand, but taking off?
Also considered Meshamish. Since the coat is hanging on a branch of the tree, you take it off. So that's called mishtamish in the tree. That's like sitting on a hammock, and the hammock is tied onto the tree.
Again, there you mishtamish.
You mishtamish in the hammock.
Right.
The hammock is mechubet to the tree.
Which mechubet to the tree.
So we're only mekel if the hammock is tied onto a nail, and the nail is tied. Tzidetz dodim. The hammock is tied onto a hook, and the hook is attached to the tree.
Right.
Then it's called tzidetz dodim. Then the Gemara says later that it's mutter. But if the hammock is tied around the tree, then it's mishtamish bitzdodim, because the hammock is attached to the tree, so you're not allowed to sit on the hammock, even though you're not touching the tree at all. You know, we're near the tree.
Yeah.
That's also forbidden. So the Brisa spells out the three. Not ein oilam bilan, not allowed to climb up. Ein nitlan, not allowed to spreitzich, to rest on a tree. Ein ashana bilan, you're not allowed to lean on a tree. The layala bilan and bod yom, yeshiv sham kala yom kula. You're not allowed to, that's the Mishnah in Sukkah. Not allowed to climb up on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and stay there the whole Shabbos, whole Yontif. Sitting in the tree house is called mishtamish bilan. It's not permissible. Echad ilam, echad kala behema. The same gzeira, they made a gzeira that Rabban Emesh Tamshim and Bali Chaim. So the same dinim, you're not allowed to hang your coat on the, let's say the horse has a saddle on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to hang my coat on the hook on the saddle. So the saddle is tzedodim of the horse. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish in the horse, you're not allowed to be mishtamish in the tzedodim of the horse. So the Brisa puts the two together. Each one is a separate gzera. The gzera that you're not allowed to be mishtamish but Bali Chaim is because gzera shemiyach to chizmor. They used to break off a branch when they would be riding horseback to whip, to encourage the animal to go faster. So the Brisa puts the two together. Okay. Echad ilon, echad kolabheim. Abo, what if you have other things? You have a bor shiach u'mo'ora, the geder. You have a cave, or you have a ditch that's dug, or you have a fence. So that's not a problem. There's not a din. You have to dafke live in a house on Shabbos. You can live in a cave also. One wants to live in a cave. It's muta metabes veil and metabes veil. He can climb up. He can climb down into the ditch, into the bor. That's okay. Afila he may ame. Even if it's 100 amas deep below the ground, that's not a problem. Sure. So now is a shaila.
Everything is too deep.
I would have thought that just like climbing on a tree, you're afraid he's going to break off a branch. Here also, he may break off a branch in order not to slip. If he's going to climb so much, and it's very steep, so he may break off a branch in order to hold himself, not to fall. So it says you're not, they never made a gzera.
There's a tree there, but otherwise you're allowed to go down.
Even if there is a tree nearby, they will never gzera. In a bor, they were never geyser. They were only geyser on trees and on balichai. Whatever they weren't geyser, they weren't geyser. So now we're at Hashayla. What if the fella climbed up on the tree? Here goes the gemara that we mentioned last week. What if the fella climbed up on the tree? He's going to sit there. He's going to be sitting there the whole of Shabbos. Would we permit him to climb down in the middle of Shabbos, or would we tell him no? Stay in the tree till after Havdalah. Stay in the tree till after Havdalah, he will be in violation of Mishtamish B'ilam, but he'll be in violation B'shevi Altasa. If he climbs down the tree, he'll be in violation of Mishtamish B'kum V'yasei, but it'll be for 2 minutes. Like this is going to be for 24 hours, going to sit through the whole Shabbos. So it's a toss-up, which is the lesser of the two evils? Is it better to violate E Mishtamshim B'ilam B'shevi Altasa for 24 hours and not to climb down the tree to be Mishtamish B'kum V'yasei for 2 minutes? Or is it better to be mishtamish b'ilon for 2 minutes, b'kum v'yasei, rather than to be mishtamish b'shevi altasa, to sit on the tree for the whole 24 hours? So the Gemara says, astira between two brises.
You can ask the same shalal gabba if he does Shabbos, thinking Shabbos, which is going to last for a long time, should he try to extinguish it now, and not that it shouldn't last for a long time?
If what?
If he does something on Shabbos, puts on the light, the light's going to burn for a long time, is it better to shut it right away, or what?
Once he puts it down, he leaves it.
He did the malacha. Yeah. I think it's a bigger malacha if it's going to burn for 3 hours as opposed to burning for 1 hour. When he puts on the light, that's a malacha. When you put out the light, that's a malacha of mechaber. When you put out the light, it's a malacha of havar. But here it's an isa de rabbanon, the mishtamish b'ilon. So the longer he's sitting on the tree, the longer he's in violation of, he's mishtamish b'ilon for 24 hours. It's worse than mishtamish b'ilon for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. But the shad is to remain sitting on the tree mishtamish b'ilon 24 hours, shevi al tasa, and to climb down it'll be mishtamish b'ilon for 2 minutes, but that'll be b'kum v'yasei. So which is the lesser of the two evils?
I think closer to the shad is if you
all the other mitzvahs that he can't do while he's sitting on the tree. I mean, this is only a drabonon, right? Sitting on a tree to.
Only Shabbos he can take. Can eat.
I don't know. I mean, he's going to miss Kriyas HaTorah. He's going to miss Tefillah B'Tzibur.
Only Shabbos eating. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah,
I don't think so. When I'm sitting on the tree, so I'm Mishtamish B'ilam. When I hang my coat on, the second that I hang is done.
That's
up get done down there, finished. But when I keep on sitting on a tree, So I continue to violate aver because man that I'm sitting on the tree.
It's a different type of shave altasa. Usually shave altasa, you're not doing anything at all. But here, by the shave is the maaser.
So now maybe this is like a kumbi asay.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to raise all of these possibilities. That's what they're going to
say. It's like not eating maaser on the first night of Pesach. You can't say it's only shave altasa because that.
No, but that's still shavi altasa. He's pointing out here, I'm sitting on a tree. By
I'm
sitting
doing,
on a tree, I'm sitting. I'm doing.
The
issur is to sit on the tree. That's the action. He's doing the action without doing anything extra. If he just goes to sleep, he is on a tree now. If he remains on a tree, he continues to violate mishtamish b'mechuber. So it's not really the same shavi altasa as not eating matzah. Not eating matzah is shavi altasa. He didn't do an avera. But here, Kozman, he sits on a tree. He is in violation. Every minute he's in violation. So it's not exactly Shevi Altas. The Gemara is going to raise the issue. So the Gemara says there's a contradiction between two brises. What do you do? Tani Chada, one brise says, Amala Mutaleret. If he happened to go up on the tree, he's permitted to climb down. But Tani Chada, the other brise contradicts it. It says, Asaleret. He's not allowed to climb down. The assumption is that there's no Machlekes. Hashem Pshad, there's a Machlekes. The Gemara says, no Machlekes. Loikashe. Not necessarily a stira kame, but yom kame shecha shecha. If he climbed up on the tree on Erev Shabbos, so he didn't really violate mishtamshin be'ilon at all. So let him stay there on the tree. If he'll climb down, that'll be a hishtamshus. Kozman, he climbed up on Erev Shabbos, he didn't violate anything, and he remains there. It's better to remain there than to climb down. But if he climbed up on Shabbos, so then he did violate mishtamshin be'ilon, so then we say he's not allowed to climb down. The boy saying the Gemara says, nah, you can say, and if you want, he can say a different suggestion. That doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? He climbed up on Erev Shabbos, climbed up. The both prices go, he climbed up on Shabbos, and as he continues to stay there, he's going to continue to violate the Yisra Mishtam Shem Beilot. He can still say there's no contradiction between the two prices. It depends that he climb up on the tree, b'shoyge go memezit. Kam b'shoyge, kam b'mezit. If he forgot that you're not allowed to climb on a tree, b'shegeg. So then we would be makel. We would tell him, climb down and pata ma'isa, finish off the avera. Instead of continuing to violate the avera for the whole 24 hours of Shabbos, climb down, you violate the avera 2 minutes. But if he climbed up the mezid, then we don't give him that head. The boy same with the Gemara, another suggestion, b'shegeg. Both cases, he climbed up on a tree mistakenly. He forgot that you're not allowed to climb on a tree. He didn't realize. He walked out of his house. He walks into the sukkah. Zalamein found that the sukkah is supported by the tree. He thought the sukkah is supported by the building. So he walks out from the merpeset onto the sukkah without realizing that he's being mishtamish ben mechuga. So the Gemara says, "V'ba'isei mahavah b'shegeg," and maybe there is a machlekes satanoim. Machlekes would be whether konsu shogu or tomezit. That's a big machlekes in the middle of Gittin and Perakan Izokin. The Gemara has many, many cases there. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, so we make a penalty with the Rabban. One Tana holds that it's an Issa deraisa. Hamavashal b'Shabbos, Rabbi Yechonon Asantl holds it's an Issa deraisa that you're not allowed to get anoyed from the Melech Shabbos. And we paskin it's only an Issa deRabban. So what if he cooked b'shoigig on Shabbos? He didn't do it b'mezid. So there's machlekes on Meir Rabbi Yehuda where they say konsu shogot b'mezid. Allah konsu shogot b'mezid. Or the same machlekes on Meir Rabbi Yehuda that say there's a din emavat an Issa lechatchila. He's cooking some vegetable soup. And he wants to give his wife a heart attack. He starts pouring in a little chazer shmaltz, but he's careful only to pour in so much chazer shmaltz to make sure that it's going to be bottle for shishim, that it shouldn't make trade. But he's a wise guy. He's not allowed to mix in knowing that you have shishim. He violated the din of atan. So if you poured in the mezid and you violated the name of atan isal chatchila, so we say it's not bottle. We make a penalty. It's not bottle. What if by mistake he poured in some stuff and he didn't realize that he was pouring in Issa? He thought it had a heksher, and it turns out that he poured in Issa. So that's a machlekes satanoim, whether if he mixed in the adayim, if a little Issa fell in accidentally, or goy threw it in accidentally, so the din is at his batel b'shishim. But if I poured it in b'sheikik, I didn't realize that I'm doing something wrong. So that's a machlekes satanoim, Rabbi Yehuda, whether it comes to show God to
amaze.
B'mezid is a knas. Yeah. B'mezid is only a penalty. So the shad is, did they even make
the
penalty?
So the halachah minatoy is that it's bottle.
Mutter, yeah,
it's bottle. The rabbon and the consonant.
Yeah.
Now, does it make a difference who pours it in, a Jew or a non-Jew, into that?
Yeah, it's only if the fella himself. Yeah.
Also, yeah.
He's going to pour the mezid into mine.
So if I go,
it's also for him.
Yeah, but
if he's pouring it to my soup, so it's also for him to drink the soup. Right. He can't say it's also for me.
So if a guy makes kosher stuff that he puts in a little bit iser into it, which is bottle of shishim, I'm allowed to buy it.
If a guy mixes in that he didn't violate, the guy is a guy, he didn't violate any iser. Yeah. If it's a Jewish company and they mix in the treifas. So we are machman shulchan aruch. Not only is it also lemisha bitloy, it's also lemisha nasa bishvilo. It's also for the one on whose behalf it was done. So the companies always do it for all the customers. So the customers are considered misha nasa bishvilo, even though the goyish shopkeeper didn't have me specifically in mind. He just had in mind whoever's going to buy it, whoever will be the customer. So that's a machlekes in Yeridea, and we're machman on that. If let's say someone mixed in a little treifas, I'm here for whoever will buy the food. So I didn't have in mind specifically this particular customer. I had in mind whoever the customer will be. So that's called Mishan Asa Bishvila. We're Machman, that is called
Mishan. Yeah, but that's only for a Jewish company. But for a Goyish company.
Goyish company, and there's no penalty.
No penalty. So you could buy that stuff?
Yeah, you can buy that stuff. It's not right to give a Hechsha.
Yeah.
Rav Moshe writes that it's a Dovah Mechur to give a Hechsha on such a thing. If it would have been a Jewish company, we wouldn't be allowed to eat it because there's a penalty. So he writes, it's a davar mechur to give a hechsher on such a thing. Hechsher means that if it would have been a Jewish company, it would have been everything on the level. Yeah. It would have been het gomer. The Gemara has many cases. We have Moshe Hanateh b'shviyas. During Shnas HaShmita, you're not allowed to do avodas HaKarka in Eretz Yisrael. So what if someone goes ahead and he plants a tree in Shemitah? So there's a penalty with the Rabban, and you have to chop down the tree. You have to rip it out from the ground. What if he made a mistake? He never heard of the din. He didn't realize that Shemitah just entered. This coming September is going to be the beginning of Shnas HaShemitah. This year is Erev Shemitah. So let's say the fellow plants, he didn't know that it's Shemitah. He didn't realize that Shemitah began already. So what if he planted b'shmita b'shoigeg? So that's right, to the same achleik as satanayim, Rameh Rabiuda, where the concert show got amazing. Many cases like that, and in many areas, not only food. Let's say a man marries, and not allowed to marry, mu'beres chavera minekes chavera. Someone died, or someone divorced his wife, and the wife is pregnant, or the wife is nursing a baby. So you're not supposed to marry her until the baby is 2 years old. Until the baby is 2 years old. Rameh says, Mekel, if it's 18 months old, Ashayla. But you have to wait a while. So what happens if I married b'shoigeg? I never heard of this din. You're not allowed to bar mimeres chaver menekes chaver. So let's say the husband died. I'm a kohen. The husband died, and she's an almana, and I go and I marry her. So there's a penalty. I have to get divorced. I get divorced. She's a grusha, so I can't even marry her if I wait till the baby's going to be 2 years old. So the Gemara says to get divorced. The penalty. So what if I did it b'shoigeg? I never heard of the din. They say konsu shogot amazing. They say lo konsu shogot amazing. So right to the same achleik as the Gemara goes from Shabbos to Chol HaMoed to Shmita to Emavat Nisan Lachatchila to every case under the sun. They talk about konsu shogot amazing or lo konsu shogot amazing. So the Gemara says maybe this is a machleik as satanoim. Why do we keep on saying one brayse says one case, one brayse says another case? Maybe it's the exact same case and there is a machleik as. Maybe the machleik is v'acha b'kantzu shogun the meizu come fligi. Maybe there is a machleik is satanai. Marsava kansinon, umarsava loy kansinon. So now the Gemara says on the etzem shaila, in the original shaila, the fella climbed up on the tree on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, whatever. He's going to remain on the tree, sitting in the tree house for 24 hours. He'll be in violation of emish tamshim and mechuber for 24 hours, b'shevei al tase. But if he'll climb down from the tree, he'll violate 2 minutes. He'll violate the emish tam shemila, but he'll be violating it b'kum b'yasei. So which is the lesser of the two evils? Every minute there's another avera.
Every minute, every hour.
Every second.
Every moment, yeah. Every moment he's over the avera. Every moment that he remains is over an avera. So the Gemara says on that etzim shayla that we started up before, he climbed up on a tree. Would we recommend he should stay there all 24 hours to violate emish tamshim and mechub b'shevi al tase for a longer period of time? Would you say it's better to climb down to violate emish tamshim and mechub for 2 minutes? The kumbi say. So he says, Amar avunu b'edu Rabbi Shua kitanoi. I think it's a machlekes in the Mishnah Zvachim. So what does he quote? What happens if you have many korbanos? Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, four different people bring a korban. And all the same, it's all a korban shlamim. It's supposed to be shtei zrikas. On the two corners, these two corners are the mizbeah. So the dam, mekabla dam, and one kli mekabla is dam, and another kli, four kelim, each kli shoris has dam. And then by mistake, before they had a chance to be zorik the dam on the mizbech, they mixed all the dam together, it's all in one kli. So all the dam is mixed in, so you just give. A matana hezrika here, hezrika here, and shine. We assume that yesh blila, yesh bila, all the dam is all mixed up. So if you just put one drop of dam over here, there'll be a mashahu
of each
of Reuven's dam, mashahu of Shimon's, Levi, Yehuda. Each one's carbon will have a mashahu shanginuk. There is no minimum amount of dam that you need. The dam has to reach the mizbech, so a mashahu of each one's carbon reach the mizbech. Mm-hmm. What if you have, let's say, each one brought a carbon chatas, and a chatas needs four zrikas on the four corners of the mizbech. The some carbonas only have one zrika. A pchav ha'maisa pesach only have one zrika on the mizbech. So let's say many korbanos Pesach, 100 people brought a korban Pesach, and by mistake, all the dam was contained in one kli. And you didn't do the zrikas hadam yet. So you do one zrikas hadam towards the bottom of the mizbeach, and you yotze for all 100 people, because that one zrikas hadam is going to have all the dam mixed in. What happens if you have a... Here. Hanitonim matara achas, shenisarvim hanitonim matara achas. You have korbanos that only have one zrika. So Reuven's carbon and Shimon's carbon, the dam got mixed up, and we didn't do any zrika yet. So the Mishnah says, "Yinas matanachas, give one zrika on the mizbeach, and that's it. The one zrika will be yotze for your carbon and for my carbon." Right. That's what Tosis points out against the Rashi. Right. What if you have matan dalad the matan dalad? Let's say you have a chatos. Let's say you have a chatos. Your chatos got mixed up, and my chatos the dam. We shechted your chatos, we have the dam. Shechted my chatos, you have dam. And then the two cups of dam got mixed up together before you did Izrika. So do inasna, how does it say? Inasna, matan dal, give four zrikas on the four corners, and you yaitse. Then it says, matan arba, matan achas, what do you do if one person's carbon is supposed to have four zrikas? The other person's carbon is supposed to have one zrika. So Taisa says, Rashi says over here, he brought a chatas that needs four zrikas on the four corners. And I bought a shlamim that only needs one zrika. So it's a machlekes of Blazer Rabbi Yeshua. Should you do one zrika? Should you do four? So Taisa says, what is Rashi talking about? The mizbeach was nine amas tall, and then in the four corners of the mizbeach there were big karnas on mizbeach that were amo al amo al amo. It was the size of a cube. Top. So when you got to the top of the karnas on mizbeach, it was 10 amas. 10 amas, very tall.
Yeah.
10 amas from the ground is very tall. The top of the mizbeach. So at the midpoint of 5 amas, there was a chuta sikra. There was a red painted line around the homizbeach that you should know that this is lemaila mechuta sikra. The upper half is called karnas hamizbeach, and the bottom half is called yisaid hamizbeach. So some karbanas, by all karbanas behema, so the chatas behema is supposed to, the zrika is supposed to be on four corners lemaila mechuta sikra, on the upper half of the mizbeach, above the chuta sikra, above the red line. Sikra is red. And all the other karbanos behema are supposed to have the zrikas below the chuta zrika. And ofus is the reverse. Achatas of the zrikas adam is lemata michuta zikra, and olus of is lemaila michuta zikra. So Tosis asks on Rashi, what's he talking about? Rashi learns over here, matan dalad means achatas, that you need a zrika in each one of the four corners of mizbech. Matnachas is b'chabar ma'isa pesach, only has one zrika. So he mixed the two damim together, so it's a machlegis satanam, should you do one zrika or four zrikas? Because if you're going to do one zrika, you'll be in violation of Bal Tigra and the dam of the Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. If you do four zrikas, the Chatas needs four, then you'll be in violation of Bal Taisif and the Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. So Taisif writes in Rosh Hashanah, if you have the dam, let's say, of the Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach, and you berserk 100 times in the same corner, so Taisif says you're repeating the same mitzvah many times. That's not called Bal Taisif. But if you do zrikas in two corners in the Mizbech, then it's Bal Taisif. You did in an extra corner. If you keep on repeating in the same corner, that's called repeating a mitzvah. If you do a first zrika here, a second zrika here, that's already an issue about Taisa. Just in explaining the Mishnah. So Taisa asks on Rashi. Rashi sets up the Mishnah, sets up the case. The Chatos needs four zrikas.
Right.
And the Bchav HaMaisa Pesach only needs one zrika. So, and the damim got mixed up together. So if you'll do four zrikas and fulfill the mitzvah of chatas bishlei musa, it'll be an issue of baltaisif and the bchar maisa pesach. If you do one zrika, so you'll be yotze b'di'eved the chatas, But you did lechatchila, but it's only good b'diyeved. Lechatchila is supposed to do four zrikas, so you violated baltigra. So that's the machlekes of Lezer Rabbi Yeshua, which is the lesser of the two evils. So Tei says, what are you talking about? The chatas has to be lemale michut asikra. Chora meser pesach has to be lemata michut asikra. So if you're going to do one zrika, you're not yoytze b'diyeved for the chatas. It's in the wrong place. It's lemata. What are you going to do? One zrika lemale michut asikra, or four zrika lemale. So you're not yoytze the bechora meser pesach. It's in Gans in the wrong place.
It's an ikuv that has to be other. It's an ikuv.
Yeah, it's ma'akev, yeah. B'diyeved, the korban is kosher, but you're not allowed to eat it. Mishnah is, how do you deal? But it's not a noble korban. It's not that b'diyeved, it's kosher la'mahadrin. The korban, you'll be yotzei dechavasai, but the kohanim won't be allowed to eat the chatas. So Taisus is matrik over here. Taisus disagrees with Rashi. Matan dalet can't be a chatas. That's what Taisus is against Rashi. Matan dalet means shlomim. That shlomim, you have to do shtei zrikas, shtei matonish ahein arba. You have to do a zrika on this corner, you throw the dam. Here the mizbech is 9 amas high, and then you have this block on top that's amo al amo al amo, the keren al mizbech. So the mizbeach comes to a point.
Yeah.
It's 9 amas tall, it comes to a point over here. So you take the dam in a cup, and you throw it in this corner, so it splashes on the both walls. It splashes over here, and it splashes over here. And then you have to take the dam of the shlamim and throw in this corner, the opposite corner. Over here, this corner was missing. This corner, there was no, the Gemara said, there was no Yisayid HaMizbeach. So he's supposed to be Zorg. In Achatas, you have no prayer. You have to be Zorg on all four corners. So you have to be Zorg on this corner, even though there is no Yisayid on the bottom. The Mizbeach goes straight. The Yisayid was that the Mizbeach went straight, and then it went wider. The last Amo went wider, protruded.
Only three sides.
So there's only these three corners had the Yisayid, looking straight ahead. Is Myrav. So this corner was missing. The Gemara says it was missing because that was the borderline between Binyamin and Yehuda. And you're not allowed to have any part of the Mizbeach in Bechelka Shal Yehuda. The whole Mizbeach has to be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. That's how the Gemara says they had a tradition. Yeah. So the Mizbeach was lopsided. It wasn't. So if you have a chatas, you have no brer, you have to be zarek on all four corners on the Mizbeach. If you have a shlomim, you're only zarek on shtaim shehin arba, so don't do these two. You're going to do these two that are opposite each other, so this one doesn't have a yisoid on the bottom. You want that after you zarek the dam, it should fall on the yisoid. There is no yisoid that's going to fall on the floor. There is no yisoid that protrudes on the bottom. So you splash the dam, you splash the combat dam, you throw it over here, so it'll splash on these two sides. You splash over here on this point of the wall, so the splash on these two sides. That's time shehin.
But also here, part of it will be a yisod and part won't be a yisod.
No, the yisod went. An amma had a yisod from the 32 ammas on the floor. So the first amma had, and the first amma had, and the other 31 ammas didn't have over here. But the first amma did have a yisod.
Yeah.
So Tyson says that's what he means matan dalad. Matan dalad. They're masig on Rashi. Matan dalad doesn't mean achatas that you need zrika on all four corners. The chatas has to have zrika lemaile michut asikra, and the bechor ha'maisa pesach is matnach and has a zrika lemato. So you can't do a zrika that will be for this and for that. It's impossible. So they say matnarba means a shlomim that needs shtaim shehin arba. That's a little bit doichik, but they're forced to. There's no other way there to read the Mishnah. It has to be like that. So that's the machlekes satanayim. What do? You have a cup full of dam. It can't be a paper cup. That's no good. It has to be a metal cup. Klisharis have to be made from metal, the Gemara says. So if you have a cup, a klisharis, that has the dam of more than one carbon in it, and part of the damim has to have more than one zrika, you have carbonates that need one zrika, two zrikas, and four zrikas. The Gemara has one tan and yume that the Tamin Shal Shachin needs three zrikas on three corners. We don't pass like that.
Two zrika ben aboyim, four?
Two. An oila shtaim shehein arba. So one Tana holds up Sachilik Tim Tom Shashacha Tom Shabir Abayim, that one of them needs three, one of them only needs two. But we don't pass like that. We pass them. There is no such animal. There is no carbon that needs three zrikas. Either
only
you need
two
one,
or
two, or four. Yeah. So here the Mishnah talks, it got mixed up. The Dhamma got mixed up. So it's a machleg Zablazer Rebbe Shu. What should you do? Whatever you're going to do, Teignisht over here. Either you're going to be in violation of Baltoisiv
or
Baltigras. So which is, but you have to do something. What are you going to do? You're not going to be Zorik the Dam at all. So both Karbonis will be possible.
Yeah.
If you're not Zorik the Dam, if you just do Shchita, you did Shchita Kabbalah, you didn't do Halacha and Zrika. So you're not Yaitse, it's Ma'akev. So you're not allowed to do that. So you have to figure out which is the lesser of the two evils. So that's the Machloikas Hatanoim. Matnar, but the Matnachas, the dam of Reuven's carbon that needs four zrikas got mixed up with the dam of Shimon's carbon that needs one zrika. Okay. So how many did Nusar Ablezer? I mean, Asim Matan Dalit. Ablezer, the Tan Ablezer Ben Hurkana says, do four zrikas. Do the mitzvah of Chatas, Chatas or Shlomim, whichever it is. Do the mitzvah of Bishle Musa and ignore the Baltigra. Rabbi Shua holds Farket, you know, Asim Matan Achas, only do one zrika. It's the lesser of the two evils is to violate Baltigra as opposed to violating Baltoisa. The carbon chatos or the carbon shlomo will be kosher anyway, because the din is we paskin like Basilo that even a chatos or shlomo for sure. If you only did one zrika, be the yevid yoytze. The carbon will be kosher. But the shad is which is the lesser of the two evils. So that's the machlek. Amal Rablezer, Rablezer tainus to Rabbi Shua. If you'll do the way you did, you only do one zrika. However, if not Baltigra, he's in violation of Baltigra. He's only doing one zrika on a chatos or a shlomim that needs more. If you do the way you said, you recommend you should do four zrikas or shtaim shein arba, so you'd be in violation of Baltasif on the Pchor Vamaisa HaPesach. Omer Ablazer, he says, it's not a violation of Baltasif, Mahatish Kembrera. Baltasif is if the person wants to outdo the Torah. Torah says he should have Dalid Minim, he wants to take a Sabra. Sabra represents the Medina. He wants to take an addition to the Dalit Min. He wants to take a Sabra. He wants to take a whatever. Another thing.
No, we can't take a Sabra.
Okay. He wants to take another thing. The Gemara says, Darche Noyim, it can't be a sticky, a fruit that's sticky, yeah. So he wants to outsmart the Torah to beautify the mitzvah. So that's Baltos. But over here, Hotnish Kembrera, the Halacha says, he mixed in the two Karbonas together. He's Mechuyah because of the Shlomim, because of the Chattas to do Dalit Zvik. Hotnish Kembrera. So Blazer says, since he has no breris, the Baltasif is only if your motivation is to outdo the Torah. He wants to beautify, he wants to outdo what the Torah tells. That's not his motivation. Amar Blazer, Leomar El Kishu Biatzman, there's no Baltasif if he feels obligated to do it because of the mitzvah. Zokta Rabbi Yeshua, Lenam Baltigar Kishu Biatzman. The same thing. Under these circumstances, why is he not giving all the four zrikas that he should have? Not because he wants to be cheap. Yeah. He wants to get away. He's not allowed to because he doesn't want to violate Baltasif over here. So if Rabbi Blazer argues that there's no violation of Baltasif if he's motivated to do four, because the halacha requires it, so Rabbi Shua says there's no violation of Baltigra because his motivation is not he wants to get away b'di'evit. He wants to do what's right, and over here there's an issue of Baltigra.
Why should there be a difference? Why should there be such a machlokes? Why shouldn't it be both on the same level? By tefillin, what's the difference if you add another parasha or you take away a parasha? The same no good tefillin. So why should it be a machlokes where the Baltosif is better to do a Baltigra?
That's what his Rav Huna Bereid Rabbi Shua thought, that's their machlokes. When you're faced with a dilemma, you can't just decide not to do any zrika at all. There are three possibilities here. Don't do any zrika at all, so the both karbonos will be possible. You have to start everything all over again. Do four zrikas or do one zrika. So not to do any zrika at all, that's the worst recommendation. You possible both karbonos. If you do one zrika or four zrikas, both karbonos will be kosher. Just an issue, you'll be violating either Baltasif Ahina, Baltigra Aher. So which is the lesser of these two evils? The third possibility is Toignish. The question is these two. So that's what they're fighting about. Is it better to do a mitzvah b'shlei musa, to do the way you're supposed to do four zrikas, and you'll violate the Baltasif, but you'll do the mitzvah b'shlei musa?
Only on one.
The other one you'll do b'shlei musa also.
Because it's included.
Yesh b'chama saimana. And this he had four, and this he had one. But is Ivan Baltasif, Otanish Kembrera, under the circumstances. So do you say mitzvah b'shlei musa takes precedence over the Baltasif? Or do you say no? You always say Shei Baltasif. Since Baltasif will be a violation of Kumbi Yasei, Baltigra will be a violation of Shei Baltasif. So Rabbi Shua sounds like he says Shei Baltasif. So that's how Rav Huna Bereid Rabbi Shua presents it. That Rav Yeshua, the Tana Rabbi Shua's opinion is that whenever you're faced with a dilemma, so you have to choose the lesser of the two evils. So Rabbi Shua has the lesser of the two evils is always determined by one criterion. Shevi Altas is better than Kumi Yasei under all circumstances.
Baltigra is better.
So Baltigra is always better. And Reb Lezer says, no, it's not always Shevi Altas is one consideration, but sometimes there's a Kumi Yasei, sometimes it's the lesser of the two evils is to do an Avera of Baltasa be Kumi Yasei, because you'll have the mitzvah, you will have fulfilled the mitzvah of Chatas or Shlomim, Bishlei Musa over here.
If we say Shevi Altas is odd, if it doesn't mean that Baltigra is better, it means that you're don't do anything. Shev al tas is not not a question of a defus for bal tigger. It's just
real shev al tas means don't be zarig any dam.
Yeah.
So that we say then you'll passel both karbonas. So that's
but you're passeling it by shev al tas, the passel the karbonas.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not recommended. That they all agree. That's not. They have three possibilities. So that possibility neither likes that. To pasla both karbonos and nishkenates. So they only consider these two possibilities. Which is the lesser of these two evils? So Rav Huna, who is it here? Rav Huna, Brei de Rabbi Yeshua says that Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is that from these two alternatives, shevi al tas is always the lesser of the two evils. So just like he says here, it's better to violate Bal Tigra than to violate Bal Tesef. Similarly, he would say, by climbing up on a tree, stay on the tree for 24 hours, b'shevi al tasa, as opposed to climbing down, b'kum v'yaseh, for 2 minutes. And then the Gemara is going to argue it's not the same. Here it's Bal Tigra is mamashevi al tasa. Yeah. By sitting on a tree, it is kum v'yaseh. The Gemara is going to argue that soon. But first, the Gemara thought that's where Rav Huna Beit Rabbi Yeshua says, that the Tana Rabbi Yeshua holds Shev al tasa is always the determining factor. That's always the lesser of the two evils. And Rabbi Leza says it's not true. Sometimes that's the consideration. Shev al tasa is the lesser of the two evils. And sometimes kum v'yaseh is the better eitzah. Over here, you'll fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa if you do four zrikas. So over here also, there's another fact, there's another consideration. Climb down from the tree to violate the kum v'yaseh mishtamshim b'mechuba for 2 minutes, rather than to sit around the tree for 24 hours. You don't say, oh, we shave al tasa, or just stay there, don't climb down. No, climb down, it's better to do the aver, become the asay for 2 minutes, than to violate an aver for 24 hours, we shave al tasa. What's the malachas machsheves?
Because he doesn't mean to do an aver, he wants to do the mitzvah. So that's why he shouldn't be over on
Malachas machsheves and Hilchus Shabbos, yeah?
I thought this before the Torah Kulo.
No, Malachas machsheves only Hilchus Shabbos, yeah. Hilchus Shabbos, he knows he's sitting in the tree.
We're talking about the tree.
Tree is a gzeira. Malachas machsheves is only malachas. It doesn't apply to gzeiras. Gzeiras are different there. And malachas.
The din of, there's two dinim then. There's the rule speaks about ein oilin be'ilon. And there's also ein mishamshin.
Ein mishamshin.
So oilin is different than mishamshin. It's the same din.
The original gzeira was ein oilin, but then they the gzera, what motivated the Tanoim to make the gzera was they know them because Shema Yachtach Zmar as he's climbing up. But then it wasn't a gzera l'gzera. When they formulated the gzera, they said ein oilin, the ein what's the loshen, they nitlin, they nishanim, they mishtamshim. Everything is included. But vasachas they included. They broadened that. They made a loyplug. Even though the chashash Shema Yitlosh is only by oilim, but they made the gzera sweeping gzera that includes all the cases.
Once you accept the principle of Kishahu B'yashmo, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer always win out? it's not a Baal Tosef anymore. So you can't use it to the other direction.
Right.
Yeshua is more...
If you say that Baal Tosef, Baal Tigra has to do with your motivation, according to the way they argued... So then there's no Baal Tosef Baal Tigra? So then you should, the Rav Leizer should be right.
Yeah.
So I think what goes on here, a lot of times in the Tanoim, they debate like the Greeks would debate. They would say a reason that wasn't the real reason.
Just in order to in throw a debate. Something out.
Yeah. That's right. How they, so a lot of times you have a Mishnah, the Mishnah gives a reason, and the Gemara says, well, that's the real reason. What's the real reason? That's not the real reason. Over here also, it doesn't appear that that's the real reason. If the Gemara is totally ignoring that, k'shuliyatzma, they leave that out. The motivation does not play a role. Self call self, you violate the Baal Tosef Baal Tigra, so you have a problem. You have a problem.
That is, if you have three meaning instead of the four meaning of Ezra, so you're saying that generally the Yotze, except for the fact that you have a Baal Tigra, or if you don't have an Ezra, you have the rule that it's Cornish.
If you don't have all the four parshias in the tefillin, you don't have all the four minim in the lulav. Yes. And the Mishnah says ma'akvim zezer.
Right.
So that's what the Rashbo and Rosh Hashanah says. How can that be Baal Tigra? He's just not yet to the mitzvah. Let's say a fellow didn't like tefillin one day. So he's violating Baal Tigra. He didn't wear tefillin. That's not Baal Tigra. He's mevatel mitzvah of tefillin. He's mevatel mitzvah zezer of tefillin. You don't say he violated the loy zezer Baal Tigra. So if he wears tefillin every single day, that only has three parshias. He never wore tefillin in his life. Why should you call it Baal Tigra? So that's the famous Rashbo that the Beis Halevi makes a whole tzimis about, and the Shalosh Tshuvos Beis Halevi. He says it's very rare to violate Baal Tigra. Baal Tigra is only Geit Naron. In a case where lechatchila the mitzvah bishlei musa was to do a mitzvah zrikas achatas with four zrikas, zrikas hashlamim shtaim shehin arba. And if you only do one zrika b'diavad, it's good. But he did lechatchila what's only acceptable b'diavad. Let's say chalitza. Lechatchila the mitzvah bishlei musa v'chalitza is to do rikike and to do chalitza and to do kriyas hapsukim. B'diavad, if you only did the chalitza, you didn't do the kriyas hapsukim, you didn't do the rikike, you ate the mitzvah b'diavad. So let's say he makes up his mind, that's all he's going to do. Yeah. He's only going to do the chalitza. He doesn't like the spitting. He can't pronounce Hebrew. He doesn't like the Hebrew language. He's not going to do the kriyas hapsukim. He's not going to do the rikike. So that's a violation of Baal Tigra. If he would have done the chalitza and then something came up and he can't spit, or something happened, so then b'diavad, he says, yaitze the mitzvah, shalom b'shlei musa. But if he makes up his mind, lechatchila, only to do the mitzvah like this, he's only going to do lechatchila, what's only good b'diavad, so that's the Rashba, that's Baal Tigra. So it's very rare. You're not going to have too many cases of Baal Tigra. Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah has like that. Tchelis is not miyakev the mitzvah, but the yoni yotze the mitzvah shalob bishlei musa. The Rambam says it's one mitzvah. Tchelis and loven is one mitzvah. Some of the Rishonim say they're two different mitzvahs. The Rambam disagrees. It's one mitzvah. The mitzvah bishlei musa is tchelis with loven, and if you have loven without tchelis, so it's shalob bishlei musa. So the Beis Halevi raises that issue. How are we allowed to wear tzitzis if you don't have tchelis? Shem besa not to wear a four corner garment. Who tells you to wear a talis and to put on tzitzis and to violate Baal Tigra? Malon of Alat Zara Zos, don't put on the four-corner garment. What do you have to violate Baal Tigra? So I think he says, the Mishnah Berurah also raises the issue. So some say, Ad Mahatnishken, if you don't have any trailers, so you're not in violation of Baal Tigra. If you could have done it, and you can't, then there's a violation of Baal Tigra. If they're selling trailers in the store, you don't bother to buy it, then you're in violation of Baal Tigra. But if they don't have any trailer, so there's nothing you can do about it, then there's no violation of Baal Tigra. And others say, no, there really is a violation of Baal Tigra, even though you can't do anything about it. But Ese Deicha Lo Ese Ese.
What's the Ese?
Everyone's walking around.
Ese is only if you wear the right films, the right tzitzis. Otherwise, not Mekayim Ese.
No, you Yotze the Mitzvah. We pass on trailers. It's not Miyakev Ese Salova. So I'm Yotze... only applies when it's Yepshel Lekayim Shneim. So if you don't have Tchelis available and you're wearing a four corner, you decide to wear a four corner garment in order to put yourself into the Chiyuv of putting on tzitzis, but you don't have the ability to put on Tchelis, it's not available, so you put on the Lavan. But if you put on Lavan without Tchelis, you're only Yotze B'diavad, so you're doing Lachatchila, it's only good B'diavad. So that's what some Achrayim say. Everyone who walks around with tzitzis is really an Ese Deichel Oisese. Everybody's wearing tzitzis with love and without chelas. It's an eser deichel oisese. That's why the problem is, if they are selling something that they claim is chelas, and it may really be chelas, maybe yeah, maybe no, it may be chelas, so then how can you wear tzitzis without? It may be in violation of Baal Tigra. And there's no eser deichel oisese. Because it's efshel akayim shneim, hastabrera. Spend a few more dollars and buy the chelas. That's why it's serious. Shem besa, if they have chelas, if they have something that's available that they claim is chelas, and you don't bother to use it, so it could be that you're in violation of Baal Tigra. So it would have been better not to wear the whole talis in the first place, rather than
chelis? What if it's not chelis?
Garnished. It's not chelis, so you lost $100.
No, but I'm saying that you just have. Could you put a red string on your tzitzis?
Yeah, it doesn't possible. The Gemara says lo yehel alovan. In the days of the Gemara, they had fakers who were selling imitation chelis. It was worth a lot. Chelis was very expensive. So chelis has to come from a fish, and if it comes from a vegetable, then it's called klo ilon. Indigo comes from a vegetable. So the Gemara says they used to have people fooling the public, fakers. They would sell the dye, the indigo dye, and claim that they got it from the chalazin. And it wasn't true. So the Gemara says, so you fell in. The tzitzis will be kosher. But if you're not going to even try to put in the trailers, then you may be in violation of Baal Tigra.
So how come all the Rabbonim and the Israel, Yashiv, doesn't come out of a psak that you should buy trailers? What's going on?
What happened? They told me what happened was Rabbi Yashiv met with the fellow from the trailers factory, and he asked him how much does it cost. And he said it costs whatever, $100.
No,
the Radzina Rebbe. That was a long time ago. That was over 100 years ago. So he had another trailer. He claimed he found another trailer. Now they have a different trailer.
Yeah.
So what was? So they say Rabbi Yashiv met with the fellow.
Yeah.
And Trelis factory, yes, Mahamish does it cost. So he said it costs $100. Then he said, what if overnight you would have 30,000 people asking for tchelas. Would you be able to supply? So they said, no, they don't have so much tchelas. So he said, how much, what would the price be if 30,000 people overnight will ask for tchelas? So I said, the price will go skyrocketing. It'll be much more because they don't have enough for everybody. So he says, he can't put on tchelas. He said, if I'm going to put on tchelas, all the Jews in Meir Shorim will put on tchelas. All the Jews in Bnei Brak will put on tchelas. And a lot of them can't afford food. They're drinking water and eating bread. They don't have chickens. They don't have any food. They have no vegetables. They have nothing. So he says, I can't put on tchelas. If I'm going to put on tchelas, the people will get sick. It'll cause people to get sick. So that's why. So Samarov went and he printed the whole conversation.
Oh boy.
So people read the sefer. Oh, you see, Rabbi Yashiv holds this really. So Rabbi Yashiv had to do something in order to
quiet this down.
To counteract the negative effect. So he wrote someone a letter, and he had them publicize the letter. So in the letter he writes, the Arizal says it's true. The Arizal says, how did the Rabbanu Shlom allow such a tragedy to occur that the tchelas got lost? He gave us a mitzvah to have tzitzis with tchelas. And then he allowed around 1,000 years ago the trailers got lost.
A lot of things like the Smiglish got lost. I mean, it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Arizal says, the Iker mitzvah of trailers is only Bizman Shebeis HaMikdosh HaYikayim. After the Chubim Beis HaMikdosh, Nishken Grace HaVeda if the trailers gets lost. So Rabbi Yashiv writes, since there's no Beis HaMikdosh, the Arizal said that the mitzvah of trailers doesn't apply, so you don't have to worry about it. So what kind of a statement is that? The Gemara, all the Tanoim and all the Amoraim, they're all what trailers. They all lived after the Churban Abayis. So what do you mean? What are you quoting the Arizal? The Arizal's against the Gemara. The answer is the Arizal didn't say a halachic statement. He's saying history.
Right.
He's explaining philosophically. How did the Rebbeinu Shlom allow such a terrible tragedy to occur that trailers got lost? So he said, it's not a great Abayis. It's not such a terrible tragedy. Because the Ike Mitzvah, the Man Sabbeis HaMikdash HaYikayim, after the Churban Abayis, the mitzvah trailer is not that important. If you have trailers available, how do you use trailers? But if you don't have it, not. So Rav Yashiv had to say something. He was afraid everyone's going to go broke. All the Aniyim and Bnei Brak, they're all going to choose to wear trailers rather than put food on the table. So he had to say something to cover up. So he said, we followed that result, that it doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh. But that's not a real explanation. The real explanation is it's Sakonis Nefoshes, that's why.
The problem is, and I was there in the place where they make the trailers, and I was also convinced, I think, they had the trailers. But then he started to talk about the different type of kshorim you have to make by the tzitzis. So it came out you have to buy like 18 different types of the way to tie the tzitzis. You have to buy 18 different talesim of different kshorim.
No, the different opinions had a tie. So the different opinions about how you wind around. Right. So that's only lachatchila. That's not miyakid b'diyevet. As long as they have the trailers, is good. The shailas, how do you make the ksharim? So the Ashkenazim, you know how we make sharim. We make double knots and we wrap around.
That's all you have to do.
So you just improvise a little bit. That's.
One
kesher. And lachatchila, you need one chulia. You wrap around and you have a double knot at the beginning. There are other opinions, for 1,000 years we haven't been following. The Sfardim have been following the Rambam, but the Ashkenazim never followed the Rambam. So we should continue. Those who want to make trailers should continue to make the trailers the same way we made the old tzitzis.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap around the double knots and so on. Shaz, how many strings of trailers are you supposed to have? So that's a machlokes. The Rambam's opinion is that you have one out of eight.
Right.
One short string. The Ravid says one long string is trailers, one
how
out
can
of four.
You have one out of eight, but you have a string.
You dye your half a string.
The trailers is the Shabbos? I'm asking.
Trailers
is the one you do the winding with the trailers.
Most of the winding, that's a machlokes. The Rambam says, Kemat, all the winding is done with the trailers, and a little bit of the beginning, a little bit of the end is done with white. And Tosis and the Ravid say, you keep on alternating. Tosis says, you alternate units.
Each chulia.
Taisa says the first chulia is white, the second chulia is blue, the next chulia is white. The Ravid says each string. You have one wrap around white, one wrap around blue, that can make him a sugar. So that's not miyakeh b'dieved. How you wrap around, that's not miyakeh b'dieved. So that you can pull through. The shaila is though, how many strings are supposed to be trailers?
Yeah.
If you're going to have too many strings, it's going to be baltais. If it's going to be too few strings, it's going to be baltigra. So how many strings? So that's a serious shaila. So the Rambam holds that one string out of eight. You only dye a half a string. It's very hard. They don't dye the string after they made it into string.
Yeah.
They dye it when it's wool.
Well, yeah,
so when you spin the string, you have to spin blue wool, and then halfway through you switch to white wool. So that's not easy, according to the Rambam. The Ravid says that you'd use one whole string out of four. is Trelis, and Rashi and Taisa say that you have two and two. Two of the long strings are blue, two of the long strings are white. So that's a shaila, which shita he's supposed to follow. We have no tradition on this. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote all the three shitas. They keep on paskening like Rashi and Taisvus, that you have to have two and two. Even though for hundreds of years, for centuries, we didn't have any trelis, but we have dinim in the Mechaber and in the Mishnah Brura for later Achreinim that are based on the assumption that it's half and half. So that's why I thought that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. We follow Rashi and Taisvus, that you have half and half.
Two and two.
Two and two?
Which one? One of the two you use as a shamish, one of the blue?
Then is the shaila. So do you alternate?
That's what I mean.
Half white and half blue. So that part is not miyakev already, but how do you wind around? That's not miyakev. But that you have to have the two blue and the two white, that the pashtus is. That's the etzem mitzvah of trelis and lavan. Okay, we'll have to discuss. There's a fascinating tesis here with Rabbi Kiveger, also a fascinating topic. Maybe next week we'll learn in Yonei Chanukah, and then we'll have to continue in the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says that on Chanukah, the Takonas Chachamim was that Yemadlik al Pesach Abayis Mibachutz. Then the Gemara says that B'shas HaSakona, if the Goyim are going to make a pogrom, so Menich al Shulchan B'day, so you light inside the house, even though there's no Pirsumi Nisa for the Bnei B'Shusra. So it came a point in the days of the Gemara that there was a sakana to light on the outside, so the people had a light in the house. But then the Achreinim are bothered with the kasha in Europe. For many generations, the Jews lived in a Jewish ghetto. They lived in Jewish areas. They had no goyim living there at all. They had goyish maids helping out. The goyish maids didn't start up with them, and they still didn't light outside. So that's a pella. So the Sfasemis and his drushes on Chanukah quotes this kasha from the Kozhinets and Magid from an earlier generation, maybe two generations earlier, from Chassidish Rebbes. Why don't we madlik al Pesach Beis Mibachutz? So he quotes from the Avodas Yisrael the following suggestion. He says the whole purpose of hadlokas haneras al Pesach Beis Mibachutz is to prevent the Hellenistic influence, the secular influence from the street, from penetrating into the Jewish home. In the days of the Hellenists and days of the Yevanim, there was a tremendous push to have the influence, the goyish secular influence, penetrate home. So the Chacham made a takone. You should have the Ner Chanukah Pesach maybe Bachutz. That should serve as a reminder. We shouldn't allow the secular influence into our house. So this Chassidish Rebbe who lived 200 years ago, so he writes, but Baba Nesenu HaRabim,
we have it inside.
We have the television and the radio and the newspaper and the magazine. We have the secular influence. What good is it going to do? We're going to put menorah Pesach Beis Mibachutz. He says you have to light the menorah inside to chase out the secular influence that's already in the home, to throw it back out into the outside. That's what Chanukah is all about. We're supposed to celebrate the victory of the Chashmonoim, that they prevented the secular influence. We live in such a society that there's such a pressure that everyone should pick up, everyone should do what everybody else does. So we have to be like the Chashmonoim to chase out the secular. We have to make a Muhammad with our own selves, with our own families. We have to make a tikkun. Forget about the others, the outside. You have to make a Muhammad and light the Chanukah candle inside to chase out, so to speak, the secular influence.
If the maharit, like you said, on tzad revi'i, you don't require, you know, if it's water. Was he saying that as a lichat, as a bidyevet? He said there was never gzeir d'rabban that you required on the tzad revi'i.
Seems to hold that the need for the tikkun on the ruach revi'i, the first mishnah, that even though you have a mavi with gimel mechitzas, you have to make a tikkun on the ruach revi'i. That's identical with the din of nifritz l'makam ha'asola, because of the chashash, maybe he'll carry out. But if this is dry land and that's water, the chashash doesn't apply. Then there's the whole tikkun, the whole need for the tikkun doesn't apply. That's what he claims. So that's what the Chazanish says against all the Gemaras.
With the snow at YU, when it elevated the Tzuris Pesach, it wasn't within 10, did you pass him that it was okay? Or you said, no, the Shabbos, if the snow was elevated...
There was so much snow that when you would walk on top of the snow, that was the ground level,
right.
And the string was not 10 tefachim above the ground level anymore.
So that Shabbos.
But the snow, no, but the snow was only going to last less than a week.
Right.
It happened that it was on Shabbos. Right. It was full of snow. But by us, since in America, the snow doesn't last so long. So then the Achrayim Amekel, they say, even the real ground level is on the bottom.
Okay. Did you see Rav?
I remember they asked Rav Soloveitchik. He was still coming to the Shiva. I don't remember what he said. Okay. They asked him the Shaila. I don't remember what he said.
You feel since it's going to melt, as if
They have the Shaila. The Hashulchan has the Shaila in Europe, because where he lived, the ice would be there for 6 months. We know, we can predict it's going to be there for a long time to come. Okay. But by us, it's not going
to
be there.
You said Laser Shach was related to Rav Cutler. You said he was related?
Right.
What was he?
I don't remember how, but there were blood relatives,
Okay, you said you don't belong to that goodie. You don't belong to Mizrahi either? You don't belong to
I'm sure you've seen these. I caught a couple of these from the Sefer Nefesh World.
Yeah. I have one of these.
It has a whole book. No, there's a whole book that they have.
This is all sentences.
No, this is all from his book.
Right.
Ish
Amunah. Right. I don't know where you begin, but someone gave me a big one.
I know. They have one, I guess, for the Alter Rebbe. They have the Tanya.
Oh, yeah?
Picture the Rebbe. I have that when I was a kid. I had one.
What's the mice with the LL nowadays?
What?
What's the mice with the LL nowadays? The Quran, the Isa.
Yeah.
So what are you supposed to do?
I think they're already negotiating.
Yeah. I heard. Not yet.
I heard they did.
As
I did
this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, I have to go to Eretz
Yisrael
soon.
I don't buy Rebbe. So he's a Ger Chesed. So he's called the Ger Rebbe. The Rebbe says, you call LL, don't come to visit me. So he switched his ticket. Today, from out this morning.
I mean, they still didn't spread that out.
Oh, I thought they settled.
They said they're not going to try it.
Didn't you always quote that you never make a bracha when you don't want to violate a law? So if this.
Thank you.
I'll repeat it. I don't care.
Does it come in the middle of the window?
My best day.
Thank you. He was running to a bris, so he was in Spilke, so he thought I asked something else, then he thought I asked something else. Then he didn't have enough time to listen to what he wanted to ask.
The Heichan Tzivanu, how do you make Bracha Shekin Shano? And then he said, Loisas. Yeah, so what's the answer to that? You always quote, Ramam Kin, no one ever has, you don't make a Lola. Yet the Gemara, the first Pasuk is a Loisas. What did you answer to
that? That Pasuk authorizes the Chacham to institute mitzvah. So they made a takana as a mitzvah.
It's a bracha.
It's a mitzvah with the Rabbanan.
You don't find it odd that they're quoting a law? You've given this Torah tons and tons of times. So it's really, according to the Lo Sasa, but they mean Vasisa.
Yeah.
Just like the second bracha that they quoted was really not the bracha.
The Rambam says that the Chayav Nisa, the Zot Amami of Paschas against the Bez Nagotalan, then the Rabbanan is Chayav Nisa. So for that you need a law.
Right.
But like there is Chanitas, you have the answer.
So it comes out that both Pesukim were not correct. Lo Sasa, you're saying is Vasisa, and the second Pasuk was not, it was Vahapta Lecha. But it's really Vahapta Lecha. So both Pesukim are wrong.
Yeah,
it's a Gemara with both
of them.
Yeah. Kind of funny.
It is?
Okay, but that's a shot.
Okay.
Okay.
I see a lot of people want to
say, related to Rav Cutler?
New York City. Stand by now.
The Rav Laser Shach is related to Rav Cutler. Trying to end it. Still didn't end. Let's try that again.
Thank you.
Let's try it a third time. Let's try it a fourth time.
What's this?
Okay, you close it.
How do you?
No, you're supposed to.